This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Holy cow. The Cavs, the juggernaut Cavs, keep it rolling. A 40-point domination over the Orlando Magic on the road. Ken Carman was not in attendance, which I think is absolutely shameful. Apparently, he couldn't make it a full sports extravaganza day in Orlando. He was golfing early in the day. I kept texting him. I said, how are you not going to this Magic game? And part of me is like, well, they would have seen a total blowout. The game was over. When would you say that game was over yesterday? Felt like Matt Derry joining us, by the way, in for Ken Carman. He is in Detroit. We'll catch up with him shortly. But when was that game over? Because this is a disturbing trend for people like me. And I saw other people kind of saying similar things yesterday. Parents in my situation, I've told Ken time and time again, I come down the steps and the Cavs game is over. And what I mean by that is, I am up tending to the two little ones. I help the wife out. We have a very, very extensive bath time that has been elongated. I've got a 2.5-year-old daughter who knows how to press all the right buttons to keep the thing going, to delay the inevitable. And we're able to put the little one, the boy, to bed pretty quickly. And then we go through the process. And next thing you know, I get down the steps. It's 8:25 yesterday, and the game's over. And I swear to God, this has happened. It feels like 8 of the last 10 Cavs games have been over by the time I walk down the steps. And anytime I check my phone now in front of my daughter, get off the phone. She screams at me, kind of like I scream at callers I disagree with. Get off the phone. Well, what are you supposed to do when your daughter is telling you to get off the phone? You get off the phone, you feel bad. You're like, man, I don't want to be robbed of this time with my daughter, even though she's doing anything and everything she can to delay this process. And so I get down the steps. They're in the second quarter. The game is over. The game is over. I mean, they were up 18 in the first. They finished the night shooting almost 60% from three. Compounding the problem for Orlando is they went 5 of 28. It was nationally televised. They're not doing TNT any favors putting the Cavs on right now. You know, for how long we were desperate. We did everything we could to protest, to lobby the powers that be with the networks. Let's get the Cavs on national television. They get them on national television, they instantly regret putting the Cavs on national television. It was with the Knicks on Friday, and now the Magic here last night.
Once you got to around early in the second quarter, when you realized the Magic couldn't hit a long-range shot, even when the Cavs were kind of struggling in that department as well, that's when I fully checked out. It felt like, oh, the Cavs got this. And they were only up by, like, what, 15 to 20 at that point?
Well, I felt good when Strus started out with a couple of threes. And anytime Strus hits...
I was thinking of you when that happened.
Anytime Strus does anything, any baskets whatsoever, immediately the tweets start coming in. I even got one yesterday. How you like them apples? And I'm like, the fact that you have to come to me and tweet me anytime Max Strus does anything positive shows me that you don't really think he's that good. Come on. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that for Evan Mobley. You wouldn't be like, Lima, Evan Mobley. Like, yeah, we know Evan Mobley's good. You wouldn't do it for Donovan Mitchell. You wouldn't do it for Darius Garland, who was missing last night. And that's just the power of this team right now. This team, almost any configuration, unless Evan Mobley is out, I feel like they can overcome almost anything except Evan Mobley injuries. That's about it. As you saw, when he missed those, what was it, three or four games with the calf situation, they were a completely different basketball team. Darius Garland last night, no big deal. That's because they have somebody by the name of Ty Jerome. What did he have last night?
He had 20 points off
in
of
21
the bench.
Minutes?
20 points in 20 minutes, basically.
He came in, there is zero drop-off. And not just from Darius Garland. There's zero drop-off from Donovan Mitchell. I know Mitchell's a way better player. But I'm saying, in these games, when they go to the bench and Ty Jerome comes in, he just does it all. And he's got this array of shot-making. He's got this array of footwork. This was well worth not having Ty Jerome all last season. Now, you can't say that to somebody like J.B. Bickerstaff. He probably could have used Ty Jerome in that playoff series. I mean, that Magic team, they got blown out on the road two separate occasions. You heard Atkinson, you know, he had referenced that, all right, it's regular season, whatever. But and they didn't have Suggs. Jalen Suggs, who I'm a big fan of. I wanted him in the draft. Jalen Suggs does not make up for 40 points last night on the road in Orlando against the Cavs. There's just no way.
There was a point early on in the game, though, when both teams were really struggling offensively. And I do wonder what would have happened in that game throughout the remainder of like the last three quarters if the Cavs don't make the move for DeAndre Hunter. Because that guy came in, I think hit like three threes, made some defensive stands. And no disrespect to Caris LeVert or George Niang, but that guy seems like he's just been gelling more and more with the Cavs in every game.
It's been instant. I mean, he had 17 points. He was 4 or 5 from three. You mentioned some of the defensive plays. When we had asked Tim Bontemps last week, and he's high in the Cavs now, and he's somebody who was, you know, holding out. He was a skeptic. Well, no longer. Tim Bontemps says the Cavs absolutely a threat to Boston. However, when I had asked him about DeAndre Hunter last week, he's like, yeah, I don't think he's a difference maker, but he's good. He's nice.
I think he was the difference maker last night.
He's a total. I don't know if anybody.
Well, I think
truly
from it being a 40-point game to like a grinding out 10-15-point victory. Yeah, well, I think it would have been a lot closer had he not initiated that second run in the first quarter. Yeah.
You know, I keep asking everybody out there, and at first it was kind of a fun joke. It was like, oh, are you freeing up your June? Are you freeing up your May and June? I mean, we are sitting here on February 26, national television. Oh, by the way, Wendell Carter of the Magic said this was a must-win game for the Magic. A must-win game, and blink of an eye, I'm walking down the steps, the game's over. We welcome in Matt Derry, who is in Detroit, who's been paying close attention to the Cavaliers. Matt, TNT is going to regret putting them on national television. ESPN regretted it on Friday night.
Anthony, will you stop with that? Come on.
The game,
we're finally getting some new teams on other than the Knicks,
I
Celtics,
know.
And Lakers. Give me a break here.
Well, they're going to do everything they can to get the Lakers back.
Oh, my God.
I forecasted, Matt, earlier in the week. Actually, on Friday, did I? I forecasted a Lakers-Cavs NBA Finals.
Wow, that would be something else. That would be crazy. By the way, you mentioned Wendell Carter. Who is that?
It doesn't matter.
I love these guys from the Magic. Give Orlando credit, all right? They've built a nice little team down there, but they're not the Cavs. And that was embarrassing last night. Like, they got absolutely clowned without Darius Garland by 40.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That was... what an kicking that was. Oh, my God. And Evan Mobley, dude, like, everybody's talking about Ty Jerome and another 20-point game, but, like, Mobley is just, he's everywhere. You can't do anything with him on the floor, the other team, because he's guarding the perimeter. He's at the rim blocking shots. He's scoring. And I know last night wasn't like a 30-point game or anything for him. I think he had 17, but man, what a difference maker that kid is.
I mean, they shot the Cavs. We know they're beating teams when they shoot 25% from three. Last night they shot 59%. When they're going 19 of 32, and basically everybody is throwing it in. And then DeAndre Hunter, they come at you in waves. DeAndre Hunter comes off the bench and hits 4 out of 5. And that is a guy who the Cavs, it's a gift at the trade deadline. Yeah. Now, you know, Caris LeVert, George Yang, they played well in Atlanta, but who cares? I mean, those were guys, especially Yang, you didn't know if you were going to be able to really get in much in the rotation without him getting played off the floor. At no point are you worried about DeAndre Hunter getting played off the floor.
No, I think ever since he's been in Cleveland, the Cavs have wiped the floor with just about everybody. And I mean, dude, this has Anthony, and you know this. This has 95 Indians vibes a little bit.
Like
just don't lose. Like that season, I believe the Tribe won the division by 30 games.
Mm-hmm.
And now we don't really look at the divisions. It's just East and West in the NBA. I mean, I think the Cavs are in the Central, whatever they call it. But like, you look at just 48-10, dominating, winning every game by double figures. Not every game, but you know what I mean. Like you just said, you're putting your kids to bed, and by the time that you turn the TV on, the game's already over.
Their margin of victory is 11.7.
Yeah.
It's only behind Oklahoma City. It's amazing there's another team that's doing better because just how these two teams have been way better than the rest. Boston is, you know, they're obviously the team that everybody in a wine and gold uniform know they have to go through to get to where they want to get to. And they want vengeance for last year, and Boston is the defending champs. They've kind of been in, when I watch Boston, they just look like a team that's like, wake us up when the playoffs start. But with that said, I mean, you can't deny the Cavaliers are playing the best basketball of anybody.
I was watching the game. They are. And I was watching the game last night, and Stan Van Gundy was on with our buddy Ian, and SVG said, look, the championship caliber teams, at least he sees right now, are Oklahoma City, Boston, and Cleveland. I mean, and flat out said it. Like, these are the three teams. I think one of these three is going to be, you know, hoisting the big trophy, the Larry O'Brien at the end of the year. And for anybody to talk about a Cleveland team, as we know, in that kind of light, gets a little scary for sure. But, man, I mean, you can't argue. 48-10. And last night, you're going on the road to play the team you played in the playoffs last year and beat. And it was a heck of a series. And Banchero's healthy and all that stuff. And Orlando's still, what, seventh in the East? They're not having the year that I think people on there expected, but they've had a ton of injuries. And the Cavs won by 40. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, well, I wonder about it this way. 216-474-0092. We got plenty to react to. Obviously, we have all the Brown stuff in Indy at the Combine. We have Stafford. You're a perfect person to talk about Matt Stafford, as you've covered him and watched him closely in Detroit. We'll get to that later in the show. Justin Termini joins us at 720. But you mentioned the 95 Indians.
Yeah.
And we're so hesitant with this Cavs team. I'll put me, maybe not everybody. Maybe it's just me and a few others at this point. Maybe the Cavs are so dominating and people are watching them on a nightly basis are like, what are you talking about? I'm not worried about Boston. I'm not worried about anybody. This Cavs team, this level of dominance, I mean, even the LeBron teams, the second go-around, they were in chill mode. Literally, that was the term they used. They were in chill mode in regular seasons. That is not the case with this Cavs team. They are throttling teams every night. The only stretch that they've struggled at all was the three games without Evan Mobley. Now they're playing without Darius Garland, and they're still pummeling teams. Like, that has not been an issue for them whatsoever. And without DeAndre Hunter, I'll be honest, and I said it before the deadline, and people were mad at me, but now it seems like people have come to my side. Once they got Hunter, they're like, oh, yeah, that's why they need one of those guys. I said before they got Hunter, like, you're just not rolling out. The lineup of Max Strus, Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell is just not going to be good enough to beat the Celtics. And I know people are like, who cares about the starting lineups, about who closes? Okay, well, fine. The closing lineup with Max Strus, Darius Garland, and Donovan Mitchell, I thought they had no shot against Boston. That was three guys you could pick on, isolate your matchups, and then you got Porzingis. You saw it in the last game. Porzingis didn't even shoot well against the Cavs, but got whatever he wanted. All three of those guys get whatever they wanted, and not to mention their guards that are feisty and seem to hit every big shot. Like, I gave them no shot. And It's completely different with DeAndre Hunter. I'm absolutely giving them a shot to beat them in a series now.
You bring up an interesting point about the Cavs, the LeBron Cavs, and the dominance at times. This is not a knock on the current Cavs. So Cavs fans, don't get crazy with me here. But the East is really bad. It just is. All right? It's weak. I mean, there's teams, you know, nationally, people are destroying the Knicks. The Knicks can't beat good teams. The Knicks can't beat Boston, the Cavs. The Knicks are pretty good.
They're great against everybody else.
But at 37 and 20, people are like, this New York team's not good enough. And the rest of the East, like, the LeBron-led Cavs had to go through Detroit. Miami was really good at the time. The Celtics teams, the big three, were good. Like, you look at this Cavs team and you go, all right, Friday night is another measuring stick game. Boston's damn good. They're kind of going through the motions because they have a hangover from winning it all last year. But then the rest of the East is kind of like, you know, very mid, as the kids would say. I mean, like Orlando, we saw last night, and everybody said, oh, Orlando's going to be, you know, they're under 500.
Yeah.
And they're the seventh seed. So, yes, the conference is down. But with that being said, the Cavs still have the foot on the gas, and they're waxing people. Like you said, they're diff for all you Gilbert fans out there. Plus 11.7. I mean, that's... So every, you know, when they win by double figures.
And we're not even putting the starters in overdrive the way that, like, the Knicks have done.
No, that's the thing, too. It's like the big topic in New York always is Thibodeau plays the starters too much. And you're right. Brunson and Kat and those guys are going to be exhausted. Kenny Atkinson has done a great job with this team. I know you're not the biggest Strus fan, but, like, playing enough of these guys to where DeAndre Hunter doesn't have to play 35 to 40 minutes a night in these types of games, gets them ready for the playoffs that they are fresh. And this Garland injury right now, I mean, you want him back Friday for Boston. It's a fun game. It's an ESPN game. It's on the road. It's a measuring stick game, like we said. You want him to play, but if he doesn't, he doesn't. They're doing just fine. Ty Jerome's going to get paid.
Unbelievable.